So next we have Boris Mejijas with Trusted Postgres Architect, deploying Postgres with infrastructure as code.
Right, so thank you very much. Thanks for coming. My name, as she says, Boris Mejijas. I used to be a solutions architect at EDB, but I grew a little bit of white hair, so now I'm senior solution architect. But this pisses off a lot of the building architects. So actually, my real title is Holistic System Software Engineer, because I like to see the things from the fundamental interconnectedness of all things. So I used to be a developer, operational people, a DBA, consultant, so I like to see the whole stuff. That's why I see the value of the DevOps philosophy, because it's trying to get the whole thing, kind of a one thing of deploying stuff in a more reliable way. Apart from that, I'm also an air guitar player, and I really love metal music. Within other type of music. But I'm going to talk about Trusted Postgres Architect. So here, who uses already Postgres here in the room? Nice, okay, that's very good. Okay, so who didn't raise a hand wants to use Postgres maybe, but I think everybody already raised a hand. That's good. Okay, there you go, thank you. So this talk is for you. All the rest is also interesting probably on this because it's about reliably developing, deploying Postgres in multiple different infrastructures, okay? So this is the use case. This is a developer. She is trying to develop a new project. She wants to use Postgres finally because it's been one of the most popular databases in the last years. And then she has this brilliant idea, but she doesn't want to start using single commands all the time because she wants to have an environment where she can test. And when everything is working finally well, she's going to be able to deploy that into different environment, either test environment, pre-production, staging, whatever you call it. But exactly the same thing. Yeah, so the typical stuff that people do is like, I have a container, I'm going to put that specific container into the server. This is not exactly that, but it can also be relying on containers in order to emulate the final architecture. So let me explain a little bit more. So you want to do it in a reliable way, and that's why the name of the tool is called Trusted Postgres Architect, which is the tool, TPA. We like to call it TPA because it gets people confused with TAP, which is, sounds like tap, which is for you get your favorite beverage at the bar. Okay, the first goal that she has is to deploy one single instance running Postgres 16. This could be also if you are running already Postgres 14 or 15, you want to try the new features of Postgres 16. Who is already running Postgres 16 here in the room? Ah, okay, so much less than the people who was already using Postgres. So this is probably one way for you to test the new version. So I'm going to just show you code here, which is YAML. You might not like it, but it is the standard way of doing Ansible stuff for doing deployment. Okay, so in this whole screen, which is pretty large, I'm going to put all the code that you need in order to have this one single instance. First of all, in TPA, you have to specify your architecture. This is the master one. I know that now we call it primary, but master still sounds nice because it reminds me about master. So that's why it's called master one, and obviously it's going to be called Fosten is the name of the cluster. Then you can have cluster variables. Plenty of stuff that you can ignore at the moment. I'm going to come back to one of them afterwards, but the most relevant here is this one, Postgres version 16. That's what you need, okay? You can put whatever version you want then, and it's going to put you that version deployed. So this is the cluster variables. I'm going to come back to the cluster variables later. Then, because you want to be able to do deployments in multiple locations for fault tolerance, high availability, it's always good to specify a location. We are in Brussels, so we are going to call location Brussels. And we are going to have an instance, obviously, at the ULB, but first we're going to say which type of instance and which defaults we have. So we are going to do it with a Debian image. It's going to be a specifically tailored by TPA, but you can use whatever image you want here. And here the platform, it says that it's Docker. This is not cloud native stuff. It's really an easy way to have a virtual machine that I can connect to it and try to behave as if it is a virtual machine, but it's a container with everything that you need there for a virtual machine. And as you can see, TPA uses Ansible, so we are going to have this Ansible user here for connecting to the machines. And here is the instance. You specify only these parameters, the name, the location, this is a number within your cluster, and the role. And the role is to be a primary. So here we use the most modern way of referring to the primary node. That's it. That's all the code that you need, okay, for one single instance, of course. Then, because this is Ansible, you do tpexec. This is the executable of the trusted architecture. provision, so you provision your cluster, and then deploy, and then you get it. Okay? So how do you connect to it? Yeah? Well, I told you that the Docker containers are going to behave as a virtual machine, so we can SSH to the machine. So we do SSH using that file that is going to be generated in the process of doing the provision. ULB is the alias that we gave to the instance. And then we do the typical thing, I become user Postgres, oops. I become user Postgres, and I execute PSQL. Yeah? But this is not so nice because it's using the super user Postgres, and you want to have this for applications. So let's get a new requirement. But this is how you connect, okay? You want to have an administrator, which is not the Postgres user, so we are going to call it Slonic, because that's the name of the blue elephant, yeah? And this is going to be an administrator. And then you have Ada Lovelace, which is going to be the application user. And we don't want to use the Postgres database, so we are going to have a FOSDEMDB, which is owned by the application user. So this gives us a little bit of more security already. So how do you change the previous code in order to allow this new request? So in the cluster variables, we are going to just keep these two variables there, the failover manager, which I'm going to use later on, and the Postgres version. And then I'm going to add the users. Yeah. So this is how you add a user. You say the username. I'm going to ask TPA to also generate a password for that one. And the roles of that particular user, in this case, is going to be super user. That's the administrator. You can also grant permissions and stuff like that. But in this case, I want to have a role attribute. And then we have the developer, which is doing the application part, Ada Lovelace. We just got the password for that one. Then we ask for the database. We give the name and the owner. And that's it. So I'm adding new stuff. So it's not just for the first deployment. It's also for maintenance. Okay? And then you do a git commit of your new version of the stuff so you can keep a track of your infrastructure with different versions. If you want to revert this, you can also do it. Right. Then, of course, provision and deploy. And you can continue. Now, I show you that you can connect to the database through SSH and then PSQL. Now we wanted to do it with an application. So what we are going to do is that we are going to ask for TPA, give me the password that you generated for this cluster for that particular user. The password is a random stuff, which is not that random. It actually contains a reference to a metal band from Belgium. If you can figure it out, I will pay you a drink from it. And then using that password, you can connect with the normal PSQL. You provide the host IP, yeah, the port, the user, and you put the minus capital W so that you can put that password there if you don't want to put that in that PGE pass file, for instance. But now I'm not using the SSH stuff, so now I'm really behaving as if it is an application. Okay? You can take a picture and try to figure out the reference. Yeah, that's good. So we have this now with that little amount of code, but we don't have any fault tolerance yet. What happens if this thing crashes? Well, we want to have a replica, exactly the same version, physical replication, and that's the new thing that we are going to do. So let's take the code again. We have that cluster variables for the failover manager that says absolutely nothing, running Postgres 16. TPA can do it with a tool called Rep Manager, which I like a lot, and also Patroni, yeah, which is also very, very good stuff. So you can choose. In this case, I'm choosing for Rep Manager. And then in the instances, if you remember, I have this primary one. The only thing that I need to do is to add another instance. This one is the VUB. So you see the French-speaking one, the Dutch-speaking one, but the city is in English so that nobody complains about the one that I pick. Now you have this one, it's a different role. You see this is a replica, yeah? And this is the primary, so I have to say who is the upstream of this replica, and is the ULB. And now I have a cluster with two nodes. Again, tpexec provision, tpexec deploy. Let's continue. I want to have more fault tolerance. What happens if there is an attack in Brussels and the old universities get destroyed? You want to have a third replica, but we don't want to do it replicating from the primary. We want to have cascading replication. But if somebody deletes a table here by accident, it's also going to be deleted in all the nodes, so you need to have some backup and restore for point-in-time recovery. That's why you want to have, in another part of the country, your barman. Because you trust your barman, which is for backup and recovery management. So it's important that your backups can be recovered. If you just have backup but you never recover them, you don't have backups, basically. So this is what we are going to build now. Let's get back to what we have. We have the location Brussels and two instances. Let's add another location, Vlaanderen. Okay? This is in the north. And then we are going to add a replica in a very nice place called Achel. Used to be a Trappist beer, not anymore. It's still a very good beer. but it's no longer a trapeze. This is just for your common knowledge about Fosden. So then you get the location is Flandreau. I'm going to say that it's also replica, and I'm going to have the VUB as an upstream. This is how I build cascading replication. I could do now provision and deploy, and I have my other replica, but I also want to have backup and recovery. So what I do is I add here another location, which is Wallonie. And then I add a very nice place, which is still a Trappist cheese, also beer. This is my favorite one, actually. And then look at the role. It is barman. Yeah. So here is how I get a backup and recovery management just by adding this. So it's an instance with a barman role. Now, where am I checking the backup from? Well, I need some space there. Boop. I didn't put it on the bottom because otherwise you wouldn't read it. So it is coming here. You just put, oops, backup Rochefort. And that's how you build it. So this is all the code you need, and you have already a cluster with cascading replication and backup and recovery tool. Good. You do provision and deploy, and then you're done, and you have built an architecture. So this is all done with Docker containers. The idea is that you can take exactly the same file and put it into virtual machines and other stuff. Okay? So if you don't remember how to do the configuration files, it's very easy. You can also use the tool tpexecconfigure. The cluster force them, and you can say, I want to use this architecture, running PostgreSQL version 16. The platform is going to be Docker. My operating system is Debian. And the failover manager is Rep Manager. And you get something very similar that you just need to change some names. Now, look at the Docker thing here. If I change it to Bear, because I like Bear Metal, you just change that, and you get a different configuration file with some IP addresses that you just need to add. It's basically the same. But you can also deploy to AWS. So TPA is going to also create your virtual machines at AWS if you have the credentials, and it's going to manage all the network things. So you just have to do provision and deploy, and you get everything. Super cool. Okay, so configure, you provide architecture, the platform, and the OS. Then you do provision, and then you do deploy. And then deploy also provides some hooks, like doing pre-deploy, pre-initdb, post-deploy. You can have some stuff like enhancing your cluster. So to summarize, you have an architecture here and an executor of the executor, which is of the architecture, which is the orchestrator here, and it's going to deploy to some machines. This machine can be running on virtual machines in AWS if you have the credentials, or it can be Bare Metal, or it can be Docker containers. When I see a ship like this with containers, I always think about the Albatross and the Rime of the Ancient Mariner. Okay, so for those people who also listen to the same kind of music, you know what I'm talking about. So the cool thing is that it is exactly the same architecture here and exactly the same way of doing the provision and deploy. It's just a different target. So instead of submitting your container to somewhere else, you say, I'm going to deploy the same architecture somewhere else. So what we basically do is when we do a project with a customer who wants to run an architecture, we deploy that with using TPA, the definition, and then we pass to the support team, which is going to continue talking with the customer after we have finished the project, exactly the same architecture, but in Docker containers. So whenever the people who is having the project in production has an issue, contact support and say, like, I have an issue with my architecture, they can deploy a model of it with Docker containers, and then they can test the whole thing there. So it gives you really a continuation of your project. It's not just the first deployment that is easy, but it's also the maintenance and the documentation of it. You don't want to document everything on PDF. You want to document in code. So your configuration file is the documentation of your architecture because you are using your infrastructure as code. That's the main advantage of using this kind of tool. That's why I like it a lot. All right, so these are the platforms. If you want to have a look at it, it is in GitHub now. It is released with a GPL version 3. It is recently being open source, but this tool, we have been using it for 6 years already, so it's quite mature and have our best practices. Everything is done with security layers, SSL, host-based authentication. Everything is done for you. And you have the documentation also at enterprisedb.com. Okay? To conclude, it is infrastructure as code. We always put them in Git so that we can have different versions. We know how it is evolving our infrastructure. It is not good only for testing, because you can test your entire infrastructure, but you can also use it for deployment in production afterwards. It's a way of documenting your deployment, not just PDF, but documented as code. And it's just not just for the deployment, but it's also for the maintenance of your stuff. And finally, we get it open source. It's been there for a while. We have been using it. We've been fighting for getting open source, and you get it there. So you are free to use it as much as you want. Now, all the documentation is there, but you can also contact me via my personal email, company email, also Mastodon. And that part is also for the other social media with full of haters. And hail Slonik. Thank you very much.